Emery Vale, California. Please take roll.
Mayor Carr.
Here.
Vice Mayor Solomon.
Here.
Is there any public comment online?
I have not received any public comments.
Seeing no public in the room, I'm going to move to item four, which is the approval of September 15, 2025 regular meeting act minutes. Is there a motion?
I'll move for proof.
I will second. Motion made by Vice Mayor Solomon and seconded by Mayor Carr. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Do I need to take public comment for? Oh, there's no, right? There's no public here and there's no public comment on the online. Okay. Action item 5.1, electing committee chair. Are you okay with me to continue or do you want to absolutely go ahead and do this one?
You've done a great job. Please continue.
All right. In that case, motion by Vice Mayor Solomon.
To Mayor Carr be your committee chair.
I will second that. And all in favor?
Aye.
And moving on to item 5.2, adopting the regular meeting schedule for 2026. Now, that is a little bit tricky, so let's juggle our calendars.
Can you remind us what the...
So you want to do March
16th.
How's March 16th looking for you? Is good?
I think good. Yeah.
Okay. Lieutenant Lopez Rojas, you will send us the invites. Thank you so much. So May 18th.
Also good.
So far, so good for me as well. And then July 20th.
Also July 20th is good.
Okay. Likewise, August we are dark. And September 21st.
Is that is the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur.
You
want to
do it on another day?
Yeah, we could do Tuesday the 22nd. I think we won't have a council meeting. Maybe Tuesday the 22nd.
Can I suggest that we do these on Tuesdays if that works for everyone, the days that we don't have council meetings?
So it would be like the second.
The second Tuesday? That would work really well with my calendar if that doesn't upset anyone's schedule.
Good. Let me see if there's any other meetings going on with the city.
Yeah. Or no, I'm sorry. I have transportation sustainability is the second Tuesday.
Okay, then just let's continue with what we have. We went so far with, we are now in September. So we just want to do
September
22nd. We'll just do it as a special meeting on September 22nd because we can't do it on the 21st.
That would be great. Thank you.
Sure.
Should make sure
November would be the last one. November 16th. But I can't do that one because I have a mayor's conference on November 16th. I have to do
16. We do the 23rd is Thanksgiving week.
Not sure why they have mayor's conference on two of these days. I have to find out what's going on. Oh, the 18th.
The election. I guess we're not running this year, so that won't affect us, I suppose. Yeah. I could do the November the 18th, Wednesday.
If you don't mind, I'm going to look and see when is this mayor's conference. thing. It's just supposed to be that day. You're right. Sorry, it's just connecting.
You can come back and finalize it. We just give up to September and then come back.
It's on the 12th. I just found out. It's okay. I can totally do the 10th. Not sure. I think that's. I just sent too many invites for that whole week.
The 16th.
Oh yeah, we can do the 16th.
Okay.
So you want the 16th?
Yes. All right. And if the we have adopted the second Monday, or I'm sorry, the third Monday of each month, every second month, not each month, but every second month as the regular meeting schedule, except for September, which is going to be a special meeting on September 16th, 2026, between 4 and 6 p.m.
At September 22nd. We're doing September.
I'm sorry, did I say another September?
16th.
Oh, thank you for correcting that. Yes,
September 16th?
We have
22nd
is the one that you can't make it right.
September. Yeah, so it's so currently.
We can do the 23rd.
No, sorry, the 21st is the Monday. Is the second. Sorry, it's the third Monday in September. So I suggest moving that meeting to September 22nd. Tuesday.
I'm sorry, I had the wrong calendar in front of me. I have the 2025 Alameda. So they just threw me off completely. That means the dates they have are wrong, but we'll figure it out. So far it's the second, the third Monday of every other month, starting with the third Monday in March, except for September, which is going to be the third Tuesday of September as a special meeting, right?
Tuesday.
Yes.
Fourth Tuesday.
It's the fourth Tuesday in the special meeting. So,
is there a motion? I will move approval of everything you said.
Okay, I will second that. All in favor? Great. Now we are ready for the informational items. Alameda County Fire Department, a report by Chief West.
Right, thank you. We have several months here to report on, so if you are okay, I will try to go straight to the totals and any significant events. That's what we'll report on.
Okay.
All right, so for the month of July 2025, grand total of calls for the city fire 1,712. The other day, 1,495 calls. In the last page, the only significant call that month in July was a vehicle fire. There was a strain of vehicle fires that was reported throughout July and the next July August and I believe September. So you're ending up about quite a few building fires, and I think EPD was is aware that supposedly they had arsonists going around during that time. Kind of vehicle fires was in the same area. So this is just one vehicle fires that we had that was on Alabama Street. And it's getting all seen in the extinguisher of fire mitigating it getting out of this. That was in July. The next month would be month of August. Again, total grand total calls for month of August of 125,244. Our yield to date is 1,719 dollars. Go to the page, just go straight to the bureau. August 20th, 2025, outside fire. Outside. Roadway. And what we have done over the last few years is we think it was related to homeless encampment fires. We reported that this was, we thought was related to homeless encampment fires. So crews came on scene, mitigated the city. Again, we'll get another minute. The next one, I know it's a vehicle fire, but this was an accident. It actually was a structure response. So this took place on Brunswick. This call of neighbors assistance with this fire is it was a multi-story taxpayer building. Neighbors helped with extinguishers, crew container fire to origin. What was kind of unique about this fire when he was on a medical call, had not taken it in, to counsel the medical call, they had a nap because it was a fire. So went to the medical call, released from the medical and responded to this, but no injuries reported, and they mitigated the fire to take to the today's portion. Next comes up, August. September. Around the same area, grand total cost in September 2025 was 224. Grand total was 1,943 calls year to date. Let's go on to the report in the highlights. This is kind of was a strain of these next few was vehicle fires on September 5th, 2025, just happened on 65th Street. NPD, so I was seeing that at that time, stated recent, again, recent arson fires in that area. 35 got on scene, mitigated the fire pretty quickly, no injuries. Next one, September 15th, this was on 65th Street. This was a cooking fire. This was a four-story apartment center hallway complex. This was on the second floor. They had heavy smoke. Basically, this was a pyro stove, so no injuries, contained real quickly. September 27th, 2025, Peralta vehicle fire. Again, this was been several vehicle fires in the general location, 35 around the on scene, they did the shooting pretty quickly. He was there and assisted. There's all the information that we need. That sums up September. I think October packages is a little than the rest of them, but that's because you have extra sheets that was meeting this. So total amount of calls October was 214 and grand total was 2,157 calls for the other day. We fell to the reports, incident reports. So on October 15th, we responded to a structure response. I know there's a lot of literature in here, but basically to sum this up, this was a another pylon stove. Residents or neighbors, they was help assist before the fire department got there. They was able to get in and they had extinguishers, so they continued.
Lots of pilot stove fires Why don't they just use induction top? I think you need to do that something in the sustainability committee.
Yeah.
Let's get all the new buildings to have induction. Agreed. So if I can have the AMA community board try to fund those type of
sure
upgrades.
Happy to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. October 21st, 2025, 65th Street. Anybody want to guess what this one was?
Yay. But you're mitigating this really fast, which is...
Yes, yeah. And that's good. I'm mitigating fast. So, so my extension for that. So who's got on city real quickly? I'm going to file was up, put out pretty fast.
Yeah, it's amazing that... These are electric stoves, right? Not gas cars.
You know what? I don't know if some may be gas or electric, but not most of them that does is are electric. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Holly Street, September 27th.
Another cooking.
Anybody want to guess what this is? Another cooking bottom stove. Yeah, same spirit. Who's got on scene? Mitigated pretty quickly, contained to the audio.
Oh, that's quite a pattern all the way from July to October or even
November. It's going to go awesome. It's going to go out on the stove fast. Let's see. Next month is November.
No events?
No significant, no pots on the stove.
Everyone was out celebrating Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so no
cooking.
Wasn't
cooking.
They were eating out.
So grand total cost $206. Year to date, $2,363. And December 2025, grand total cost in December was $231. Year to date was $2,594. If you want significant event in December, and this was related to homes and cabinet, please got on scene. Yeah, that is it for those months. And we work well together, and also this always me when we get a chance to work with you, get your own thing, and job before we get down.
Thank you so much. A great talk. We are ready for the end of 6.1. Then should we go to 6.2? Please. I'm not going to ask for public comments if there's no public in the room, and I don't know if you have any cards there. So I will go for 6.2, Police Department, Crime Statistics and Crime Prevention Efforts, and Lieutenant Rojas.
All right, so our Part 1 crimes for September, property crimes down 22%, violent crime down 19%, with an overall crime down 22% for September. We had 93 adult arrests with one juvenile arrest. Next page, year over year, the only crimes that are up right now in September were simple assaults from 98 to 110, and petty theft from 424 to 491. We continue to see an increase in enforcement, so this is why you see the numbers increase with these statistics. Scoot over to our ratio. The ratio of property to violent crimes remains the same from 85%. 15%. Adult arrests. We see an increase from 34% from 2024 to 2025. So, like I said, we had 93 arrests in September, totaling 641 arrests for the year. And juvenile arrests, we see an increase of 45 overall. But however, we did only have one juvenile arrest in 2025 compared to three. So, small numbers make big margins. So. You go over to our beef matrix. You'll see September B2 had the highest number of incidents with 62, and petty theft being the most number of crimes. So for our highlights, B3, we had a homicide in front of Nirvana where a male victim sustained a gunshot wound and was transported to Alameda County Hospital, where he later succumbed to his injuries. EPD officers, in coordination with UC Berkeley, UC Berkeley police officers. They subsequently arrested two officers shortly thereafter. B3, we had aggravated assault. While officers were processing the homicide scene, a male victim flagged down the officers. The victim was bleeding heavily from a stab wound inflicted by another male who had left the area. That victim was transported to Alameda County Hospital, where he received medical treatment for his injuries, and the suspect was later arrested. Just on a side note, so the teams who were working the active homicide scene had to kind of divide and conquer, and they ultimately received an award presented by the chief of police during our award ceremony. There's a lot of stress and stuff. They handled it professionally, and we ended up getting everybody identified and in custody. So hats off to them. In B3, we had a commercial burglary at the German International School, where the responsible were arrested, and we recovered the stolen property from that. And then in B2, we had a residential burglary at Bay Street Apartments. A dealer security agent reported that they were monitoring live surveillance video of three subjects entering the south lobby. The subjects were taking packages from the apartment complex and were captured pushing a cart full of packages towards the Mac store. Officers conducted an investigative stop on the subjects at West Elm, and officers located a cart full of loss in the south staircase of Bay Street Apartments. The subjects were arrested for burglary and transported to Santa Rita Jail. And then in B2, we had a rape on 5600 block of Bay Street, where a female citizen reported being raped by a male acquaintance. So you'll go to our heat map. It shows our auto burglaries for the month of September. Most of the auto burglaries occurred in the south end near the East Bay Bridge Shopping Center. Our auto burglaries are trending down from 26 in 2024. We only have 14 for the month of September. It's great. And that includes September. October. Property crime is down 23%. Violent crime is down 21%. And overall crime is down 23%, with 88 adults arrested and 2 juveniles arrested. Year over year, the only crime that's up again is simple assaults, from 122 to 123, so we had one more this year than last year. And petty theft from 489 to 546. And again, we are seeing increased enforcement, so that's why you see the numbers going up. Our property crime ratio from property crime to violent crime has slightly changed by 1%. So we're seeing 84% property crime, 16% violent crime. Adult arrests, we see an increase of 30% from 2024 to 2025. So we had 88 in October, and that brought us a total of 729 for the year. For juvenile arrests, we saw a 31% increase overall, but again, we only had 2 juvenile arrests in 2025 of October compared to 4 in 2024. You want to go to a beat matrix? October, B2 had the highest number of incidents with 55, and petty theft being the most number of crimes for that beat. So B1, we had a robbery at Ross Dress for Less, where officers responded to Ross on the report of a theft that just occurred involving a suspect who used force. Officers checked the area and initially were unable to locate. A short while later, a parking enforcement PST observed the subject walking east on Park Ave. Officers responded, detained the subject, the loss was recovered, and the subject was transported to Santa Rita Jail. We had an attempted carjacking at 66th and Vallejo, where the victim was parking her vehicle. She was approached by a male wearing a ski mask. The suspect pointed a handgun at the victim and demanded car keys. The victim fled the area on foot while screaming for help, and the suspect then returned to his vehicle, described as a gray Infiniti with tinted windows, and fled the scene. B1, we had an aggravated assault in the 6300 block of Christie, and during physical altercation between females, one of the females stabbed the other female in the neck with a knife. The suspect later turned herself in at the police department, where she was arrested and transported to Santa Rita Jail. You go to heat map. again, are auto burglaries. Most of them, again, occurring in the South. And continues to trend down year over year. We have 25 in October of 2024. But in 2025, we only have 7, which is great. I haven't seen numbers like that low in a while. Not on wood. Moving to November. So we have property crime down 22%, violent crime down 20%, overall crime down 21%. We had 73 adult arrests with 0 juvenile arrests for November. Year over year, we see 131. Year over year, crime is up for simple assaults from 131 to 134, and petty theft being from 548 to 630. The ratio for property crime to violent crimes, it remains the same, 84% to 16%. Adult arrests, we see an increase of 31% from 2024 to 2025. I stated earlier, we had 73 arrests for November, bringing us a total of 802 arrests for the year. Juvenile arrests increased 13% overall. However, it dropped from 31% from the month prior. So again, we had no juvenile arrests compared to the 4 arrests in 2024. Go to VEAT map. VEAT matrix, sorry. VEAT 1 had the highest number of incidents with 58. Petty theft being the most number of crimes. We had a commercial burglary at Total Wine, where ECAM and East Bay Bridge Center security reported commercial burglary in progress, and there were 4 masked subjects inside the store. Officers arrived on scene and confirmed there was forced entry into the business. Officers located 2 possible suspects fleeing in proximity of the business and conducted investigative stops. The officers confirmed the suspects were burglary suspects by identifying them in the surveillance video, and both suspects were arrested and transported to Berkeley Jail. B2, we had a robbery in the Target parking lot, where an officer was flagged down regarding a robbery of a cell phone. The victim reported a male subject approaching and threatened to shoot her if she didn't give him the cell phone. That suspect is described as a male, 39 years old, 6'3", medium build, wearing a ski mask, all black clothing, and the suspect vehicle was described as a blue Toyota van. In B2, we had an armed robbery. The victim reported being robbed at gunpoint. The loss for tools, and the suspect is described as a male, 6 foot tall, wearing a white shirt. Our suspect vehicle is a green Toyota Tacoma truck, and the Toyota was captured on Bay Street security and flock cameras at Christie and Bay Street. Auto burglary heat map. Kind of spread out throughout the city. We get into the shopping center. These are crimes of opportunity. Auto burglaries continue to be lower compared to the previous year. Again, like I said, we did see an increase from 39 to 21, but again, it's a shopping season, and we tend to see this around this time of year where more crimes of opportunity, with people leaving gifts and items in cars while they're doing their holiday shopping. November or December. So December, we have property crime down 21%, violent crime down 20%, and overall crime down 23%, with 51 arrests, adult arrests, and 2 juvenile arrests. Year over year, we see a decrease in simple assaults from 147 to 143, and we had an increase in rate from 2 to 4. We see an increase in petty theft from 604 to 692. Our ratio for property crime to violent crimes jumps back to 85% for property crimes, 15% for violent crimes. Adult arrests, see an increase of 28% from 2024 to 2025. Again, with 51 arrests for adult arrests bring us a total of 853 for the year. Juvenile arrests, we see an increase of 6%. And we arrested two juveniles in the month of December. Moving on to our beat matrix for December. So B2 had the highest number of incidents, 50, with petty theft being for most crimes. So for our highlights, in B3, a robbery and a sexual battery on Peralta Street, where a female reported a male suspect forced his way in her unit, stole money, sexually battered her, and fled the area. Officers that had multiple contacts for mental health evaluations involving this victim. In B2, we had an aggravated assault. We had a road rage incident between two motorists that began on Mandela Parkway, which resulted in one motorist intentionally striking the other motorist with his vehicle, and that victim declined medical attention. And B3, we had a commercial burglary at Head Over Heels, where the suspect entered the gym through an ajar door. He accessed the office area, selected multiple iPads and computers. He exited the business with a loss, and then he returned to the office and selected an additional laptop and more iPads from the fleeing area. Officers identified the suspect through surveillance and prior law enforcement contacts. And then a few days later, officers arrested the suspect, recovering the laptop and returning it to the office. Heat map for the auto burglaries. Well, they increased from the previous month. However, they continue to trend down year over year from 31 to 26 for the month of December. That should conclude our.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Go to 6.3, which is the Police Department Overtime Report by Lieutenant Ropa.
Go on. September. Let me pull it up. All right, September, the total for the month, 175,942 for the month. Our largest percent was about 34% for reimbursable overtime. Patrol injury relief being the second with about 11% for approximately $19,000. Non-reimbursable overtime for the month totaled 110,302, which is slightly more than August. And training and vacation accounted for almost 10% of non-reimbursable overtime in September. That's for September. Moving on to October?
Yes, but I'm sorry, Matthew, did you have any question on any of the items we've discussed so far or any discussion on any of these items?
No, I think I did.
Okay.
But I'll, if I do, I'll raise it up this time.
Absolutely. And in that case, let's move on to October.
Overtime expenses are down from September, totaling 122,590. Our largest percent was about 19% for patrol relief due to injuries. See that reimbursable overtime being the second was approximately 8% for about $10,000. And non-reimbursable overtime was $11,659, which included grants and officer invoicing. Training and vacation relief accounted for 23.6% of non-reimbursable overtime in October.
That's the October?
That's October, isn't it?
Any questions?
Sorry, I'm cheating. I'm looking at
it. Go ahead. Yeah, go for
it. So the stack reimbursable overtime is much down this month and then disappears November, December. Is that?
Yeah, so our invoicing, IKEA was invoicing for October, August and September, and they stopped invoicing after September. So you'll see a drop in that. And then same with Apple. They were invoicing for a while for the reimbursable overtime. They've stopped that detail momentarily.
Good.
And we're hoping that they plan on picking it up here in the future.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Is nothing further we can move to November?
Yes. November, overtime costs continued to decrease from the month prior, totaling $85,000 for November. The largest percent was 11
12% or about 12% for patrol relief due to vacations. Non-reimbursable overtime for November was $76,677. And our reimbursable overtime for November was $8,585. And again, that's, you'll see that number lower because of the invoicing. Training and vacation relief accounted for 26% of non-reimbursable overtime for November. That'll conclude our November overtime report.
Thank you. Any discussion or questions?
Additional question. So I'm noticing, obviously the patrol part of the team is much bigger than the dispatch part of the team. But does that explain the differences in the patrol portion of the overtime being much larger than the dispatch portion of the overtime, or is there varying staffing levels or?
Yeah, so we have a significant more amount. So we have a larger amount of sworn officers than non-sworn. Right. So around this time of year, you're going to see more of the guys taking vacation, which is going to account for a little bit higher.
But more expensive too.
Yeah.
I know that there had been some. I think we were at the general dispatching. It's hard to staff our dispatching team, but maybe we've addressed that.
Yeah, we've gotten our levels up. Right now, we have 9 on the books, which is great. But 9 of them doing, they have to share the load. So when somebody takes a vacation or a day off, it does impact them, which would contribute to a higher overtime cost.
But it's not chronically understaffed. It might go down.
Yeah. It's not chronic. But technically, we're full. We're holding one spot vacant for reorg, hopefully. We'll see. And one person's on FMLA, one person's not here, but we do anticipate some vacancy coming. I'm going to do some anecdotal stuff when we're finished about the
company. Okay, that's good. Thank you.
I was also looking at that where you had September was 65,640 and November 2025, 8,585, significant drop. Is that attributable to filling up those vacancies?
The category you're looking at there, Madam Mayor, I think it's the reimbursable overtime category. Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
So correct. That drop accounts for the dropping of the contracts from IKEA and Apple. They're no longer, the reimbursable overtime is when a company pays us to guard the store, basically.
I see, yeah.
And that's stopped. So that's the drastic decrease.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're no longer being reimbursed by IKEA and Apple?
Not right now. Well, hopefully they'll come back because it's a force multiplier for us.
Yes.
Yeah, they pulled out for now, saving themselves some money.
Okay, so when did is that when the contract ended, in October?
The contracts, we signed the contract, but they can end it, or we can end it anytime we want to. And so it wasn't the end of the contract, they just chose to not do it for now. Happened before. I think before you were chair, you sat in the chair, but they quit doing it for a period of time, and then something happened, and then they got us back.
I see.
So I don't know anything that happened to bring us back, but
yeah.
They actually quit at a bad time because they had a new release, the new iPhone 17. I was like, this is not a good time to stop. But
yeah.
Because
it was right at the holiday time. Mm-hmm. That significant drop in reimbursable, so you don't have those contracts anymore. That's why.
Why not?
Okay. But does that affect anything in terms of service?
Yeah.
Okay.
It helped us when they were there because then we'd have a regular beat officer working plus an extra body in case we needed it. So it helped us operationally,
yes.
But then doesn't hurt us, them not paying us extra money. The officers might be hurt because they don't get that easy overtime.
Yeah, but it doesn't affect the service at all.
Nope.
That's good to hear. Okay. With regard to non-reimbursable overtime, that it still averages about the same, but this is good that it dropped off in 2025, non-reimbursable as well. In November, significantly from, and that's attributable to the vacancies being filled?
Yes.
Are you full now, or except for that one coming?
Maybe my anecdotal thing, we were
going okay.
To find it.
Oh, I see. Well, it's all back. To being bad?
Yes. We'll get to that then.
Okay, we'll wait for that. Let's do December, and we are almost there. So
So in December, we have overtime expenditures increased from November, totaling $120,261 for the month. The largest percent was 19% for patrol vacation. We saw reimbursable overtime second with about 15% for $18,000. Non-reimbursable overtime was $102,428, with training and vacation relief accounting for about 30% of non-reimbursable overtime for December.
Mm-hmm. Would I mention?
No,
nothing from me either.
You're really waiting there.
So basically, with the stats we were talking about, there's some concerns that we have. The command staff will talk about that, but mostly it's, we have six vacancies at this moment. Before we're October last year, we were full. Now we have six, anticipating possibly eight. And so we're back to the numbers that I had when I first got here, where it's troublesome. So you'll see a lot of these numbers go up. Our overtime numbers will definitely increase. And also our training budget's limited need to be increased because we have to hire 6 to 8 more officers in the upcoming year and a half. And they're not going to be fully actualized for 2 years. So we're going to be running short for a period of time unless we get actual true laterals. But we've been, one of the reasons why we were full is because we focused on recruiting young people and put them through the academy, which is a cost to it. The city wasn't doing that before, but me and the newer city managers thought that was the best way to staff our place. And we got there but through the retirements, attrition, and a couple of people moving on to other organizations for various life reasons. We're back to that situation.
So I know two of the officers retired, right? And then four are...
Yeah, we've had two are going to be... I'm not going to have to pass the problem exactly who's gone, but we've had some open slots. We have two people who are saying they're going to be leaving the organization, which is four. Other two are POTs. They're just open slots.
Yes.
So that's six. Sorry, I had an old suit of head. It's like coming over it though. I'm not contagious. I won't come here.
Okay.
Be contagious. So that's a six.
Yeah, with one night of training. Got reclassified. And we had the two retirements.
Yeah.
What level of so these are all train magnets. What levels of seniority and where in the hierarchy are the openings?
The openings were, the two senior people have 30 years on. Yeah, Leila. Right. And then we had the openings, and then we had one dispatcher who became a peace officer who didn't make the training program. He went back to being a dispatcher. Mm-hmm. And then...
Give me a pop quiz, so I got to get through my files, and I can't move. And
oversight to fill these open slots. Yeah. It's not like we can target filling somebody who's mid-career that comes in with a breadth of experience. We sort of have to find the best candidate, the best fit for the city of Emeryville. The losses that hurt, there's always going to be the retirements. We can't stop that. There's 25% of the department at this moment is eligible to retire. So the future is, three bad days in a row from being a mass retirement, right? So, but the ones that we concern ourselves with the most, I think, are the mid-career people that have left for greener pastures. Really expensive for the city for us to start over. You take somebody who's got 10, 15, 20 years on, and you lose that experience and that efficiency, and then start over by paying young people to learn and inculcate them in the policies and procedures, stuff like that. So we have a lot of stochastic efforts going towards this thing in different directions. We're hoping for some laterals that can come in with a law enforcement background.
Yeah.
But slim pickings in the market currently.
So what are the green ambassadors? I thought Emeryville was a great city to
This gets into our whole recruiting thing. So, and kind of what happened in our last negotiation period. So no one lives in Emeryville. We have one officer that lives in Emeryville.
Yeah, only
officer. So multiple officers, yeah.
Yeah.
But multiple officers drive from 2 or 3 counties to get here to work. And so we're driving in, you start doing a work-life balance between driving in 2 or 3 counties, and I can make a little less to be here at another location, be it Livermore. We have several live in Tracy, Contra Costa County, the far ends. So it ends up being a life balance that we have one officer, a very good officer, but they want to move to the hills. They want to move to Placer County. They have less footprint in their life. And then also Emeryville has small agencies. We don't have many ancillary jobs you can do. We don't have a SWAT team, a narcotics team, things that some of the younger people like to do. So some people want to go for that those opportunities also. So we have a great department and we're well received.
Yeah.
Because my department, but we do and it's well received. Yeah. But you know, we have people who want to do different things. They want to move back to where they come from. You know, Sacramento, we have an officer that might go to a job that's like 10 miles from where they live. You know, sort of, and they just had a baby. So some of our middle aged our 8 to 10 year officers are starting to have their lives. And so they buy a house where they can afford it. And they started having children, and then they can be closer, more accessible to their families. And so it's always a problem of Bay Area policing. You pay well. And it's also, for me, in hiring, who do we hire and why do they want to come here? I don't want to hire people who just want to come to Emeryville or any other Bay Area because of the high pay, because they're super commuting. Mm-hmm. And so their quality of life is eventually going to get to them. And also, the demographics are usually quite different from Bastrop County.
Yeah.
And how they interact. So I deal with that. Well, we deal with that in the hiring process.
Yeah.
Why do you want to come here? What's your
motivation?
What's your motivation?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the issue that we have. And we had the great negotiations. The prior thing, it retained what we had, but we still continued our request to hire newer, younger officers so we can mold them into an Emeryville way of doing business, which is why you see these numbers going down. These officers are motivated in a different way. They really want to see our community engagement.
I have seen it. It's been very good. And I've seen the new officers engage very well with the community.
And that's been our focus. It's been Pablo's focus and my focus. And I think we've been a great organization for it. The diversification in our and how we are compared to how we used to be well before any of us got here. Changed their reputation. And yes. So yeah, now we're back at a crossroads. We're going to have to try to do it again and hope some of the younger kids recruit some of their friends from their academies because we do have I think our officers are better emotionally to deal with the things that are going on in society because we do all the things that society really wants us to do. Community engagement, talking to people like human beings, having the ability to really enjoy your community. And so other officers are lacking that in some jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully, you know, they'll recruit some of their friends.
What would bring them here? Is it like I know the Bay Area has a higher cost of living, but in order to get that talent that you're looking for, is there like any housing policy that would help where you could have police officers live in this area versus commute from Tracy or Sacramento or Placer? I'm just trying to figure out what would it take from the department's perspective to hire someone from the local. I'm glad. Do you live in the Bay Area or are you also?
Yes,
I'm glad at least you are living in the area. So any other examples?
Well, there's several agencies that have done lots of stuff that we've never done. So and I don't know if it's all effective either. So at one point in the early to mid 2000s, like Brentwood was offering low interest loans to officers and one of the first responders, fire and police, who wanted to come and live in Brentwood, and they gave you a low interest loan. So that was an incentive. I don't know what happened with that program. I know they don't do it any longer. So there's some cities that do that. There's cities that give the significant bonuses. And again, that gets to my whole issue regarding what's your motivation for coming here. I know that my friend in Alameda, they offered $100,000 to Michelle Yoshi. It didn't yield what they wanted to yield. They got a lot of people who were running from issues and running to the money. But they did get some people, but they're still not filled. And we were the only organization filled for that 1 month, which I said, enjoy it because they're going to last. But it was a good one. Just from our efforts, just hiring the right people and trying to begin the onboarding, we changed our onboarding to be really, what's the term, touching. You touch your customers often. You make sure that they're being served. You make sure they're getting the right information quickly. Mm-hmm. And you never forgot about them. Because a lot of, I've run recruiting in two different organizations. And a lot of that is missing where you're like, God, you should be happy to be here. Or the recruiters aren't the right perspective and are like not calling, then you know the next test coming up. Hey, how are you doing? Are you studying? Are you running to get in shape? All these things. So we had a high touch with our candidates. And I think that is a book bear out with the one that you're seeing here. Help them get into shape, help them to study, help them learn how to shine their boots. I never shined boots until I got this cop job. I never shined a gun, all that stuff. So we do all that. So I think that's what's keeping our younger people, and what's going to continue keeping that is A, being competitive in pay and benefits, but also maintaining our culture of being engaging.
Great. So are your benefits comparable
yes.
to the area? So right, that's, yes. And then you are in charge of culture, and I think you're doing a great job. I think culture, leadership culture comes from the top. So
I have good people, and it really has helped that they believe in what I'm saying, and they can, but not only they believe it, they see it. It's different before when I came in 5 years ago and I'm saying all this stuff, and they're like, and then they're like, oh, okay. And slowly, and then I really helped getting Pablo, because he was in that term where he had the old people and he met the young people. And I think that he's changed and became much better because he had that old stuff and he can go to the old guys and say, you're not really that way anymore. This is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. And so he had this group of people that followed him. And then it was easier for me to have the younger people doing it, but now it's even more gratifying that the older officers are coming in and participating in our group and our community engagement. And they see the value in it. And it's warms your heart.
Yeah.
You see the kids and you see the adults and everyone's having a good time.
I'm really glad that you're doing such a good job with our department. And I'm so excited that Noble is going to be hosting Libreville. This is probably your doing, right?
Wasn't my doing, they just asked and I'm like calling. So wasn't my doing. But I think that just for the mere fact that we've done a lot of stuff with Noble, and it's a great location. I've always said this is a great location for business. It's also a great location for nefarious act, also for the same reason, transportation, no gang members, no gang affiliations, lots of places to eat, lots of hotels for people to go to, close to go to everything. So I'm hoping with FIFA and Super Bowl and other things that our occupancy rates go up and we start having more, conventions and business. Yeah. So, that's what we need.
And as we grow with Sutter and all, I think your department will naturally have to grow. So if there is any forward thinking or visionary things that need to be implemented from your perspective, please put those on the table and the CIP beforehand so we can have all that in the pipeline while these things are happening.
Yes, Mayor. It's already in the organizational assessment that we did. So everything I want to do is in that document. Okay. And so we'll discuss it. We're going to discuss part of it with the building part. But our concerns coming up besides the staffing is, what's going to happen now is we'll see the change of the facts. Because the Tokyo grocery, we did a tour. And so I anticipate there's going to be some issues there. Yeah. Okay. Just because it's a store. And it's nicely located. So our juveniles are part of that issue. So, but we talked to the managers, we did a tour, and so we're going to do our finest to make sure that that's not crazy, but it's a very nice time that I haven't been in there yet, but it's very nice. And so that's going to be busy with the juveniles. Upcoming issues continue to be our immigration issue that we don't have, but the national issues that cause us to have problems.
Yeah.
We have a protest. I don't know if they told you.
I saw that on the website. I was out of town, but I saw that was happening.
Those type of issues are going to continue being our issues coming up. I think that when we open the restaurants for being what Chevy's used to be, that's going to be, you'll see that flare map go up again with burglarized vehicles and stuff, because that's going to be an ongoing issue. And our arson and 2026 has been, as Chief West said, been arson increase. It continues to be part of an issue with some fire tube bug running around. And I just know some catalytic converters, theft sites started jumping off. So there's little things that always keep reoccurring, but we're addressing those with special operations and just awareness and sharing the data. And my last anecdotal thing is our emphasizing again, my point of emphasis is citations. For moving violation that causes accidents and injuries. And we still have a good number of those. And also, when you start seeing a lot of officers pulling people over, it continues to drive down crime. I think, if I haven't done the numbers, but I would guess we're close to historic lows in crime. I know that we never went over the 2018-19 high mark. Crime did go up in 2022 from the COVID years, but ever since then, we've been having a 20% drop every year. So one of these smart guys will probably do the numbers and we'll see exactly where we're at compared to where we were a decade ago.
That's wonderful to hear. I always like hearing about the fire and what they are doing for public safety, which is fantastic. And I'm really glad to be a part of this committee. So anything that can be done in terms of moving violation by working with Public Works, I know that there has been some issues on this road. Me too, while driving down on Hollis or mm-hmm. up and down Hollis. It's a little bit of a challenge for me too. Like the last council meeting, I was trying to figure out where is the turn, which one is left. I hope I'm not going in the wrong lane. So I think that needs to be completed. But if you want to work with that department and see how you can reduce that, that might be a good synergistic effort.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll talk to Mohammed. We'll have more problems. We did talk a little bit, but this is just in flux because we're trying to get it done. We don't know what it's going to look like when it's finished. When lights are completely up. But I think Vice Mayor Moore and I had a discussion regarding Christie, and we've done activity on Christie to help calm that down, besides getting the signal lighting and speed bumps, which may or may not come, but we have put a point of emphasis on that location a couple times. We'll continue to do that. So, you know, with one motor guy, we'll continue bouncing around, but I'm trying to get, you know, my thing is to motivate everyone to participate in that. Yeah. In their downtime to make sure they're writing those citations. Because honestly, we have not been. We're doing way more than we used to, but we can do better. And so that's been what I've been driving down. And so we'll see what happens.
I appreciate everything you do so much. We all do. So are we done with the overtime report? Should we go on to the discussion on exploring the placement of the new police department building? Right. That's an exciting discussion, and I always look forward to that. Where is the placement of the new police department building, Chief Jennings?
Assessing, studying it.
Yeah, it's just so I want to, you already put the bar really high, Mayor. This is an open discussion regarding the preliminary council of the police department building. That's all this is. So it's very light, not deep, not in depth. We can't get in depth. If you so choose to take this to your council and have a discussion. But historically, you can see this is our PD involved in there.
A lovely location.
Yeah.
Inside. Yeah. Both the fire and PD are located in a very nice location. I live in that neighborhood.
Yes, ma'am. As you know, we've been there since 1971.
Yeah.
At one point in time, City Hall, and everyone was in that location. It's around 22,000 square feet. Not adequate for both of us. And so in 1997, there was a discussion and then City Hall built their glass building and they moved back in 2001, leaving up the building that we're in now. That building is still, was never meant for the PD, never designed. So in the early end of the 90s, study was completed and MWN, out of Oakland Design, they came up with a bunch of stuff regarding the building. And so we'll kind of talk about that. Next slide, please. Again, starting business in 71. Prior to that, the PD had been there for 70 years. It had never moved. It was at the basement of where the city leaders sit now. It was in the basement of that space, again, an inadequate amount of space. You see, they decided to move to Powell Street. They remodeled it. And at one point in time, when they were remodeling, they moved to these double wides off a shell mound. They really liked my take from the officers. We're here for the show.
Yeah, we liked it.
They liked it more than where we're at now.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
I
remember going to a course there sometime, but I just remember it was a double wide. I'm like, we're in a double wide. But,
So where was this This 2010 to 2000, the temporary facility, Shell Mound?
Yeah.
Was it where Treasure,
It was just north of Hyatt. It was between the Hyatt hotels.
Oh, that one, okay.
Yeah, just south of the Tosh Street overpass.
Okay.
An empty lot over there.
Okay. There was a discussion at the city council meeting about the contamination of the soil exact space.
Yeah.
Minor detail.
We'll take it. Please.
Okay.
These are some of the site and safety concerns that we have with the. You call from the town? Yet? No. Okay, it might be next. So, again, we're on the coastal side. So the peninsula we're on, we all know, is located landfill. They filled it up, bedrock, very sturdy. But there's also concerns of that. Safety concerns are after 1989, the Loma Prieta earthquake, yeah. And how Cypress Ridge fell. And it used to be a major portal for Emeryville and other people in the Bay Area. It collapsed, and all that came with that. Our concern now is with the 580 overpass. If that were to collapse, you have 75% of your public safety assets, Station 34, and us on that side of the bridge, and no way to get there besides if we had a marine patrol, which we did not. So all of our assets will be over there. Well, you know, who knows what happened, but it wouldn't be efficient. Shown, and we've had already had a tsunami warning once or twice since I've been here. We'll reactivate the EOC. We're also concerned with liquefaction with a large enough catastrophic earthquake that would melt the ground and fall into the bay. So those are site safety concerns. Along with that comes with our response times. Even though we have really good response times, we're 1.2 square miles, but we're over, I remember the number we were talking about earlier, but at least 21 linear miles inside that 1.2 square miles, and problematic. We would have a way faster response time if we were centrally located, and I'd feel safer, and I think most of the constituents would feel safer. If the PD, you know the PD is going to be, our dispatch is going to be up, our EOC is going to be up, and then we can respond, you know, quickly and more efficiently. This goes into, I layer my conversations because it's not like formal conversation with the fact that, you know, the fact that you guys want it to be 100%, you know, EV, our building's not sufficient for that. I think it's later on the slides, so I'll make it this long. So next slide. Some more pictures and stuff of how the model was redone. Yeah, it's about 1,700, but 1,700, 1,600 square feet. The building needs assessment. Also talked about creating a public access. But if you come into our hallway, you see our place is not inviting. This little box, you got to get in the elevator, and this is not even getting into the whole issue about ADA compliance. It's problematic. We've skirted that issue. It's been brought up multiple times by certain people, but the only way to get in and out is that the reason we get around is because you'll have officers or dispatchers in there, and if something really happened to someone who was ADA compliant, we carry them down the stairs if the elevator went out. Mm-hmm. We normally have to have some kind of other access ramps to get them in and out. We do not have that. We don't have a place where it's inviting to victims of crimes. If you have any kind of sexual assaults, or we have children that come to our place, it's not an inviting location where you want, or you know, our senior citizens that come into, it's not easily accessible. Back when they did the assessment by NWM, there was millions of dollars of HVAC and heating issues and roofing and water permeation in the walls. They fixed some of that, but it's still inadequate. The space is inadequate for building codes, 16,000 square feet. The last one I read, we should, for a police department of our size, 58 total, with the trying to expand from the org assessment, should double, be up to 68 people. It's 26,000 square feet that you should be at. That was in 2000. That's what the numbers that we had back then. Like I said, when I'm reading the history, everything in the city is grown tremendously. Went from being, you know, manufacturing, forest track place, all the things that we had in the past, to being biodiverse, having lots of retail, other different businesses, and even you have two fireplaces, and PD has never really changed. There's never been a building made for us. And even the historical documents, I mean, fire department has always been left in here. Even when Alco came, they took over and it seems they came in. But the fire department has always been championed here for various reasons. The PD never has for various reasons. But next slide, please. So again, it talks about the sizing and fitting of 23,000 square feet in our building. And what we should be looking for is, and we have found property, and I'm not going to remember where, but Muhammad had already drawn up a joint building, and I didn't put it on it because that would be for if we decide to go to a larger audience, to your body, and start discussing this and how we're going to fund it. Muhammad had already drawn up a public works, police department joint facility that had adequate parking for our public works vehicles, police vehicles, also our private vehicles, you know, lock gates, and maybe more secure. We've had issues in the past with police officers, I don't know, firefighters who have their cars vandalized or stolen from, but we've had that issues in the past when they're out in the public, and I know it's a PD and we're probably not coming out anytime soon. That also answers the question regarding electric vehicles and having a grid, a dedicated grid, that when a catastrophe hits, the cars are still used, and you can still use them. Right now, we do not have. We even talked about what I also discussed, which I didn't put in here specifically. Like right now, it'll take over $3 million to get our we're going to stay in our same location. It'll take about $3 million to get a dedicated grid and also get PG&E to get enough power supply, because right now it's maxed out. There's no power supply without them putting a whole nother system in there to get us enough electricity to electrify our vehicles. And you can jump in anytime.
I do have some questions. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate your talking about the electricity and the power grid. Remember that we did the whole thing with PG&E at the school that David championed. Mm-hmm. So on that, they have asked me to attend a meeting. I would like for you to be in that meeting or talk, have them talk to you as a stakeholder, Chief Jennings, or Muhammad or whoever. They want to do a consultation for the city to be on the model of the school. This is the same person who's done the school. Basically, the power grid and the solar and everything. So, So he's invited me for a meeting on Thursday, February the 12th, but that's a 20-minute meeting. I just want to meet and greet, see, make the connection that at some point I want him to go ahead and have a visit with you, talk about site, and have a visit with all stakeholders and have a fully engaged discussion. Since you brought up design and reconstruct of a new building, regarding location site to fit 22,400 square foot building, you said Muhammad had a discussion already and has located a site where public works and police department can bring their vehicles and park them on that one site. Where is this site? I'm very curious to.
I'm
going to
answer that question.
I think it's the the former Martian Whitney site that's like right near the Griffles building, the one that's currently undergoing remediation on Stanford and Horton.
The one
that's undergoing remediation? Yeah. Where the program is going to be. Yeah. I think Muhammad's thought is, you know, this is again very, very preliminary, but he was thinking that they could probably fit both the courtyard and the police building there.
Oh, so
it has 10,000 foot view.
So that's being cleaned up, but with regard to expense and all that, that needs to be discussed.
Because
there's going to be a lot of money that will need to be dedicated to building something that's ADA compliant, brand new a facility. I mean, I think just the renovation of this room, which looks really nice now, is I'm sure cost a lot of money. So with regard to limitations, inadequate space, if you want to finish those slides, I think I kind of see what you are.
Illustrating more of that.
If you want to just finish it for the sake of completing the presentation, we can go into discussion after that.
Okay. So basically, you'll see that we have limited space. The same space, these folks are writing on, they're eating on, they put their evidence on there. There's been fentanyl, cocaine, marijuana, guns on that same table. There's no other place for them to put it. Basically, and it's, I'm not happy with it. They adapt and overcome, but it's just not healthy. And, you know, I think that, again, we have one of the finest police departments, and we should try to treat them, get an adequate, you know, spacing to eat their meals at least, because they're there. That's their office. Next slide, please, Pablo. Again, the organizational assessment talks about the facility does not meet, you know, same thing we talked about. There's an outside independent person talking about the facility and how does it meet our needs, doesn't, you know, hit our infrastructure for capacity, and is not suitable. Physical impact. So this gets kind of towards the nut for this presentation. We're just discussing it. That's why it's really preliminary and light and not full of details. But there's no conflict. And this is basically setting up to have a discussion about, you know, what the June guy is like to do next, the body of council to push this forward, if you feel like it's worthy pushing forward. I certainly do. I did say the part about my officers, our officers deserve better. I think it better serves the citizens in Emeryville. I think we can provide better service, and also we can get to the you know, move forward closer to the EV component. I think the last, I don't know if you guys were in the chair before we did the study regarding how much our CO2 output, our footprint, has diminished from being 25% carbon free. So I know we can do better. And I've talked with Chad Smalley and Lowndes regarding either bond measures or attaching this to another study to see what the feeling is in the city about doing this. I understand the pushback, some concerns from the Watergate community, but as you know, our response times are fast. And that's going to change anything there. And also, we've talked about discussing making a second police department. That was kind of the term that Muhammad started using. So maybe we still have a substation. That's there if we can't find a better use for that PD, but that's a substation. So we're going to come there, write the reports, beat off the beat. One officer could drive and be in that area and have a building to go to. So those other variations, we talked about other vacant buildings. We talked about the mitigated spot where we have two places. We don't want to have public works and the police department together. There's been East Bay Police Department, I can't remember, Palo Alto. They did a joint police department with the seniors community. And they used some senior community money that was given through the state. So there's a myriad of ways to look at how we want to do it. I don't know if we need a new senior citizen location or not, but you can look at those things. And that's kind of where we're at.
I am happy to move this to the study session. I think under the rules of procedure, I can call one as a mayor, but I think it would be better to just have a majority of this body here move it to council for a study session on that topic. We may have to, it would be a problem. I don't know if we need a third party vendor to do a complete study session and doing these, but if that's the staff recommendation, is to move it to a study session, I'll invite your motion for that.
Yeah, no, sure. I'll make a motion second, but I think that all this is actually like helpful. I think honestly, seeing the pictures is like, oh wow, that space does not look well suited to do that. So
I'll look on pictures. I asked for the
if this doesn't work, you can go work with these sets. And I'd welcome like a, you know, a tour or something if
you want to. Anything we can do to give the CIP is my ultimate goal.
Yeah.
I know it's not going to be done immediately, but the groundwork has to be laid, and I believe that the council has to make a decision. This is important to the future, and I think it'd be great testimony to the city.
Yeah, I think.
If you want to make a motion to move it to a
city. I'll just say, I think it would be helpful as we, you know, studies has been great, I think, just to get it on the radar, and then, you know, to obviously have more conversations around obviously where, what it costs, what kind of grants are available, you know, anything like that. But it sounds like staff are already having that conversation, you know, you're having that conversation with the rest of the team. And so appreciate that. But yeah, I think it'd just be great to put in front of the full council and get other people's
thoughts and inputs, so I'm happy to move that forward. So I said, make a motion to move that forward for session.
Thank you. I will second that motion, and then we will unanimously approve that. So I won't have any further discussion on it since we've had enough discussion on it. But a public comment, are there any cards or any comments? They see no public in the room. I'll just move on to future agenda items. There are none. With regard to announcements and member comments, are there any members? In that case, we will adjourn. It is now, thank you, now 5:24 p.m. and we will adjourn this meeting. Thank you, everyone. Yes.